because he will eat it all. Okay, so youngsters coming, they will need us to love them. And again, one final thing, you know, I've, like Jane, I found new friends in the church, which I'm really grateful for. I found, you know, Graham has become a really good, honest friend. He's honest about things, challenging, just beautiful. And I found Wilson, who is just a beautiful brother. And I'm really grateful to God because I'm finding new friends as well. People that are going on the same journey that Jesus has asked me to go on. And he's asked them to go on that same journey. And because they're on the same journey, we can all grow together. And that's what's beautiful. And like Jane has found people to love her, I pray God will give you people to love you in this community. Just before I begin, I just want to pray for this couple over here. Is it Ray? Yeah? Ray? And I've not met Patience, Ray and Patience. Can you guys just, Graham, Alison, can you just stretch out your hands towards them? I felt God speaking into my heart for you both. I think this is a very important moment in your life, a significant moment in your life, where God is doing new things for you, and it's a new season. And in this season, I felt the Lord telling me that everything that can be shaken has been shaken, okay? And the reason is because he wants you to be free from the things that are going to hold you back from making the decisions he needs you to make so that he can bring you into the future he's planned out for you. Don't be afraid about letting go of the old. Don't be afraid about what happens if you let go. God's got you in his hands, okay? He's got you in his hands. And part of this journey for you I believe part of it is forgiveness, release forgiveness. So part of the journey for you is releasing forgiveness, releasing mercy. Why? Because you're merciful. And those who give mercy, receive mercy. So don't be late in releasing and forgiving. It's really important for this part of the journey. But God has also been saying to you many a time, I've called you to leadership, okay? This is a season to step into what it means to be a leader in his community. God wants you to take the giftings he's placed within you and to release it for everybody else. So Father, I want to pray for them. I pray for Patience. I pray for Ray. I thank you, Lord, that you're making everything new in their lives. And Father, we pray for them as they go on this journey together, that not only will you watch over them, you'll help them get rid of all the baggage, just absolutely dump it so that they can step into the new. For God told you, he's already told you that the season you're moving into is one of increase and blessing. And so, Father, we pray that over them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come give them a clap. Lovely couple. Just really appreciate you. Stephen is our interpreter. We're really grateful that he is interpreting for us this morning. It's a real blessing. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Welcome back to church. Why is church so important? Why is it so important to be part of a church community? Let me tell you why it's important to be part of a church community. Because when you're part of a church community and you get given potatoes that you don't need, you have to go and find people to share it with. And as you go and share it, they say, why are you giving us potatoes? Because they gave it to me in church. You're already evangelizing. So maybe you wouldn't have done things that you're now doing if you were not in church. Making Jesus known. It's important to be a church that is, to be part of church. Why? Because God will do things in you. You will become a hope bringer. You will become a hope bringer. You will take hope to your neighbors. Because God has done something for you, you take something, you give something to other people because of what God has done in your life. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Wow. Wow. Right now, in heaven, God has an inheritance for you. Isn't that extraordinary? This is better than potatoes. So right now in heaven, God has got treasure that he's storing up for you. Treasure that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Who and what are you living for? Are you, if you're living for the transitory, temporary, short-term blessings of this life, it's a wasted life. But if you're living for the glorious inheritance that God has got for you in glory, then you're living the right kind of life. God has got a reward for every Christian who proves faithful and walks with him. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Yes, we know it's been a difficult 2 years for many people in this room. In fact, it's been a difficult 3 years for the whole world. Some people in COVID lost their parents and couldn't even have a proper funeral. Some people in COVID lost friends, dear friends, and couldn't even travel to the funeral because they were not family. It's been a hard 3 years for many people. But I know this, that after death, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, after death, there's always a resurrection. You see, the Spirit of God that dwells in you is not subject to decay. He is not subject to anything that diminishes the life of God in you. The Spirit of God that dwells in you can bring hope to a broken world if he has got your heart, if he's got a hold of you. If God has you, then you will be God's instrument of blessedness to this broken world. And so these have come, verse 7, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Much more important than any gold you can acquire in your life is your faith. Much more important than anything you can achieve with your life is your faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ wants to take you on a journey, individually and collectively. The collective journey, by the way, is more important than the individual one. If there's anything you know about God, is he loves community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. More important than what you do as an individual is what we do together as the body of Christ on earth, through which God reveals himself, through which confounds the principalities and the powers of this dark world. Why? Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is being revealed. And so therefore, to be part of the church, it's critically important. And more important than that, to be a servant in the church, to be somebody who helps the body of Christ, to be everything it's meant to be, that's even more important. Why? Because he who is greatest is the servant of all. And we know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, got on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. This is a true leader, one who washes the feet of the saints. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say, I want to be a leader. I want to be a leader. And so I want to talk this morning about the fact that God wants to put something in your spirit. God wants to speak to you in such a way that your life is transformed, that you're changed. In fact, God is always speaking. And I was sharing with my leadership team yesterday at the Gate Central that when God speaks, God wants to give you a vision about your future. God wants you to see the future. He doesn't want you in darkness. He wants you to understand that he has got plans that he's laid out for you. Plans to give you a hope, to give you a future. God wants you to live confident that even if you don't understand what tomorrow brings, he's with you, that he'll never leave you or forsake you, that he is right there with you. I think about Sinner, who, you know, has had to endure, asylum seeker, Sinner, dear brother, has had to endure not being allowed to work for a year at least. Not every, person that comes over here as an immigrant has got the same rules attached to them. Some folk who come over, it's a real struggle. They have to wait a whole year before they can even work. And in that, they've got to trust God. They've got to live where they don't want to live. And in that, they've got to trust God. If they're a Christian, that, okay, God will see them through. This is just a season. God will see them through it. Why? Because God has a hope for my future. God has got a plan for my future. God has got a destiny for my life. And I choose to put my trust in him. The circumstances, I might not like them. The circumstances, they might be really difficult. The circumstances, I see other brothers and sisters, and they seem to be having a happy time. But for me, it's difficult and it's hard. Nevertheless, my responsibility before God is to put my hope in God, to put my hope in Jesus, to believe that he will never leave me or forsake me. My faith is more important than the gold I want to acquire, than the houses I want to build, than the cars I want to buy. My faith in Jesus is more valuable than anything I can acquire in this life. So therefore, even in my circumstances that might be difficult and hard, I will stand in trust of Jesus Christ that he will see me through. Your faith is more important than anything you can do in this life. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is critical. And so, God wants to speak to you. You know, when a woman becomes pregnant, we men do sympathize with the, I don't know, when my wife was pregnant, she started to grow. And she started to eat all kinds of food. Was good. And of course, being a sympathetic husband, I would join her in eating whatever it was she wanted to eat. And it was also interesting that everything about her changed. I mean, she just grew like this. Now two people walking around with me. One who couldn't see, the other who couldn't see. But the thing is, a baby comes about in marriage through an act of intimacy. That's how the baby comes. An act of intimacy, an act of love. And so a seed is planted in you. In the same way, God wants to put a seed in your heart. His word. The Bible talks about, Jesus talks about what happens when the seed is planted in the human heart. When God's word produces seed, okay, God's word, and I live by what you're born again, of imperishable seed, not perishable. So when you're born again because of the imperishable word of God, which now dwells in you. So you're born again because the word of God comes, convicts you of your sin, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. So you're born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. That's how you start the Christian journey. But there are other things God wants to plant in your life. There are other things God wants to deposit in your spirit. He wants to speak to you. And just like if you're going to have a baby, okay, the seed needs a womb in which to grow. So too, when God speaks to you,
God needs the womb of your heart to receive His word. God needs you to open your heart and say, yes, Lord, speak to me. So that His word can be planted in your heart about your future, about your destiny, about where He wants to take you, and what He wants to do.
You know, when people don't have God's vision for their life, the sadness is they cast off restraint. A lack of God's vision brings this order. You know, so the Bible says that where there is no prophecy in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint, but happy are those who keep the law. When you don't know what God is trying to say to you in your life, to give you hope about your future. So God wants to say, hey, I've got a plan for your life, for your future. And here it is. If you don't know what it is, it's like casting off restraint. It leads you into a place where you do whatever you think is right. Can I have a scarf? Anybody here got a scarf? Anybody got a scarf at the moment? Yes. Well, if I'm going through life
and I'm blind to God's promises for me, how can I make progress in life? I will do what I can see to do, but I will not be listening to my master's voice. But if I hear the Lord speaking, and every Christian can hear God speaking, every Christian, there is no special Christian that hears God, another Christian that doesn't. We who are born again can all be God. And even if you're not born again, even if you're not a Christian yet, you can hear God too. God wants to tell you He loves you. God wants to tell you He wants you in His family. God wants you to be saved, to be born again. That's why He sent Jesus to die on the cross. Because He loves you. And anybody who will repent of their sin and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, but we saw what Wilson as he walked there. He had to listen to my voice. And they got some hecklers from over there. You know, some hecklers. Now they were well, this was good. They were meaning well. But sometimes in your life, there'll be other voices speaking to you, trying to drive you in different directions. Let me tell you something. It is really important that the Hong Kongers coming to this country are integrated into normal people. I cannot stress that. Pastor Stephen,
That destiny brings hope to those around you. If you are going to live the life God meant you to live, your heart has got to receive His word. Sometimes the things God asks you to do mean you have to die to the things you want to do, or the things you could do. When God gives you a plan for your life, because He's got a hope for you, God's hope for you is not just for you. It's also for all the people around you. God's hope for your life is not just that He blesses you, but that you become a blessing to many. And if you want to hear a great testimony, Jeremy is getting married or something, but it's going to be a great testimony about somebody who's been at the station. This is next time around you. The number of venues that are broken down helping. And so we understand that a lack of a vision brings disorder. But when we hear God speaking to us, everything changes. I want to close with this. Our mind cannot of itself discern God without his help. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says this. It says, the god of this world has blinded the mind of the unbeliever so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Satan is proactively trying to keep people's minds closed and blind all the time. He's working against people knowing Jesus. So you'll hear lots of people talk about God, but very few people talk about Jesus. You'll hear on the media a lot of talk about God, but very little mention of Jesus Christ. Our queen, who has just died, was a faithful Christian. She knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She was a born-again Christian. And she knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And she remained faithful to her vows. But you see, our mind, without the help illumination of the Holy Spirit, our soulish realm is bound. We can't see God. We need him to illuminate us. And, you know, 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14, the Bible says that those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for their foolishness to them. And they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I love what was shared about your son wanting to follow Jesus. It takes the Holy Spirit's help for us to be able to see him. How are you going to see Jesus unless the Holy Spirit helps you to see him? Unless the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, how can you see Jesus? I was speaking to somebody when I was witnessing the other day, and he said to me, "But you've never met God, have you?" I said, "No, I said I have met God." "But you, how can you have met God?" I said, "Yeah, I know him, just like I've met you, I've met him. But how can you meet God? How can you meet God? How is it possible to meet God?" He was blinded in his mind, and he couldn't see. And so, there is a key to your future. Before we came in today, somebody had to walk the door. To get the ones there, that was just the access. There is a key to your destiny. God knows the plans he has. If you're going to get a key to your destiny, then you need to open the door of your heart. And God will give you the key to your destiny. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Final prayer this morning before I hand back to you. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to give you a chance to do so right now. Just like the young lad in Washington accepted Jesus over the summer. If you'd like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not sure if you die even for heaven, but you recognize Jesus died for your sin, and you're willing to ask God to forgive you of your sin and accept Jesus. That I want to pray for you. So can we bow our heads one last time, please? Like, I don't want to embarrass anybody. And if today you would like to open your heart to Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior for the first time in your life, then right now will you just lift up your hand right up so I can see it. And then put it back down. And I'll see your hand. And I'll pray for you. Father, we thank you for those who have responded to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior. We ask, oh God, that they would follow right through in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just ask that if Patricia, if somebody ever get Patricia, I'd pray, and I can direct her where to go.
So God offers all of us a hope and a future, but also we are hope bringers. Did you catch that, Yinka said? We are hope